Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this 1855 is the third time in Bhagavad Gita where something is being stated. This verse is one of the most important verses throughout the Gita because it answers 1 million questions about spiritual life. Please repeat. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Yavanyaschasmi tatvatah. Tato mam tatvato gyatva. Vishate tad anantaram. Synonyms. Bhaktya. By pure devotional service. So Prabhupada is emphasizing pure devotional service, because there's another kind of devotional service called mixed. Mixed devotional service means there's still some material aspiration on the part of the devotee. But pure devotional service does not have any tinge of materialism, either gross or subtle. Material desire would be the desire to merge with the Supreme. And gross material desire means sense gratification. But pure devotional service, nothing is added. It is only love of God. Next word, mam, me. And of course, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. Abhijanati. One can know. So, the question that many people ask, is there God? Can you show me God? Here Krishna is saying, yes, you can know me. It is possible. Next word, yavan. As much as. Yacha asmi. As I am. Tatvata. In truth. So notice what these words. Not only can you know who is God, but you can know him as he is in truth. This means scientific. This means factual. Next. Tataha. Thereafter. Mam. Me. So, three times. In the first, mam, then asmi, I, and again, mam, me. These words can only apply to a person. A non-person cannot use these words, me, I, me. This only can be a person. Therefore, God is a person. Next word, tatvataha. In truth. So twice in this verse, tatvata, in truth. Gyatva, knowing. Vishate, he enters. Tat anantaram, thereafter. Please repeat. One can understand me
as I am.
As the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Only by devotional service.
And when one is in full consciousness
of me,
by such devotion,
he can enter into the kingdom of God.
Now the kingdom of God is known as Vaikuntha, the realm where there's no anxiety. You will agree with me. Planet Earth is not Vaikuntha. The newspapers, the television, the headlines, every day is telling you this is not a place where there's no anxiety. And in Kali Yuga, the anxiety increases day after day. There's no relief in the material realm. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. So the devotee's attitude is, I want to go to that place where there is no anxiety. Then, as Prabhupada says, let me go back home, back to Godhead or Vaikuntha, that place where there is no anxiety. Otherwise, you come back here again and again, there's going to be anxiety. Let's look at Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation nor by the non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As already stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 25, Nahang Prakasha Sarvasya. He is not revealed to everyone, nor one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. One who is fully conversant with Krishna science becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna. Becoming Brahman does not mean that one loses his identity. Devotional service is there, and as long as devotional service exists, there must be God, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. I will give you an example of this. Last couple of days, I was reading in Krishna book the story of the Brahmins and their wives. The cowherd boys woke up one day and they said to Krishna, we're very hungry. We have not had breakfast. So Krishna told the cowherd boys, over there, some brahmanas are doing a sacrifice. They are trying to go to the heavenly planets. They're not my devotees. But because they're doing a sacrifice, perhaps they will give you some food. So the cowherd boys, they're obedient, they went to the Brahmins. And they explained, we have been sent by Krishna and Balaram. And we know, because the cowherd boys were educated, they knew, O Brahmins, we know that it is not improper for you at this stage of the sacrifice to give us food. You can still do it. But the Brahmins paid no attention. Even when they heard the name Krishna and Balaram, they just ignored the boys and were going about doing their yajna. So the cowherd boys went back. Krishna, they didn't even respond to us. Krishna said, you have learned a very valuable lesson, that when you go begging, you're not always going to be successful. So then Krishna said, now over here, the wives of those very Brahmins, they're my pure devotees. You go there. So the cowherd boys went, and as soon as they said the names Krishna and Balaram, those wives of those Brahmins gathered all kinds of food. They didn't give it to the cowherd boys. They wanted to personally bring it to Krishna and Balaram because they're pure devotees. And as soon as they heard Krishna and Balaram, like a magnet, they immediately... So they said to Krishna and Balaram, "We know you are Narayan. And Narayan is known as anyone who surrenders, he gives shelter. So we have come here. We don't want to go back to our husbands and brothers and sons. We're done with them. We want to take shelter of you. And we know you're supposed to give us shelter." Krishna told the wives that affection for me does not depend on being in my personal presence. Proximity doesn't mean anything. Now, when the wives arrived, it was not proper for them to go and embrace Krishna. But in their hearts, they were embracing Krishna. And their love for Krishna was so great, and Krishna was reciprocating in their hearts, so they felt oneness with Krishna because of that love. But, and Prabhupada makes the point in that, the Brahmins' wives did not lose their identity, neither did Krishna, but they felt oneness because of that love. Oneness means there's nothing in between. Oneness means whatever Krishna wants, I want. And that reminds us of what Krishna told Durvasa Muni. When Durvasa Muni was being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, who did he offend? Ambarish. So, at that time, Narayan told Durvasa, very important statement. In my devotees' hearts, they only know me. And therefore, in my heart, I only know them. That's oneness. That's love. So in the same way, these wives of the Brahmins, even though they were separate from Krishna, they didn't physically embrace him, but in their hearts, they felt that oneness. And Krishna reciprocated in their heart. So then Krishna told the wives, "Your husbands, they need you. So you should go back." And the wives said, "But who will take us back now that we have left?" Vedic culture was so strict. They said, "They won't take us back because we left home." Krishna said, "No, no, no. You're my pure devotees. Nobody will find fault with you. So you go back because your husbands need you." So the wives were obedient to Krishna. Surrender means obedience. Prabhupada said, before you can have love of God, there has to be obedience to God. So these wives of the Brahmins, they were obedient. They wanted to stay. They were ready to just, right there. But Krishna said, "No, you go back." And when they went back to their husbands, by this time, they finally woke up. And the Brahmins said to themselves, "Our wives are more advanced than we. We could not recognize Krishna and Balaram as God. But our wives, they immediately surrendered." And the Brahmins condemned themselves. We're in Maya. And they were cursing themselves. Our wives, they're not sophisticated, they're not educated like us, and yet they could surrender to Krishna and we could not. Then the Brahmins decided we should surrender to Krishna, but then they thought, oh, wait. We got to worry about Kamsa, that there might be some retaliation. So still, they could not surrender because they were too attached to the material plane. But the wives of those Brahmins, they wanted to completely surrender. They kept their identity, Krishna kept his identity. So that's why it says here, liberation involves getting free from the concept of material life. In spiritual life, the same distinction is there. The same individuality is there, but in pure Krishna consciousness. So, when you go back home, back to Godhead, you won't be in this body, but you will still be a unique, separate, individual person. You will always be an individual, like you've heard me say many times, like a joke. Get used to yourself, because you're always going to be an individual person. Let's continue with the purport. One should not mistakenly think that the word Vishate enters into me supports the monistic theory that one becomes homogeneous with the impersonal Brahman. No. Vishate means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage in his association and render service unto him. That is what we are aspiring for. Even Lord Kapila talked about this, that I offer my devotee five kinds of liberation, but not if it means no service. The devotee wants service. This is a very important teaching of Lord Chaitanya. And you should know that Shikshastakam prayer, number 4, that birth after birth, even doesn't matter if I get liberated, Bhagavad Bhakti Ahoituki Twayi, the devotee's attitude is, even I have to take birth again, that's okay, but, there's a but, I need pure service unto your lotus feet. That's what the devotee wants. When we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, what are we asking for? Are we asking for wealth when we chant? Are we asking for a beautiful body? Are we asking for popularity? What are we asking for when we chant? More service. Exactly. That's what we're... So, don't be surprised that by chanting, you get a phone call and somebody says, I need you to do devotional service. Yes, you have been chanting, then Krishna reciprocates in so many ways. Let us continue. Vishate means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage in his association and render service unto him. For instance, a green bird enters a green tree not to become one with the tree, but to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Impersonalists generally give the example of a river flowing into the ocean and merging. This may be a source of happiness for the impersonalist, but the personalist keeps his personal individuality like an aquatic in the ocean. We find so many living entities within the ocean if we go deep. Surface acquaintance with the ocean is not sufficient. One must have complete knowledge of the aquatics living in the ocean depths. Because of his pure devotional service, A devotee can understand the transcendental qualities and opulences of the Supreme Lord in truth. As it is stated in the 11th chapter, only by devotional service can one understand. The same is confirmed here. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service and enter into His kingdom. After attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta stage of freedom from material conception, devotional service begins by one's hearing about the Lord. So that's the first process, hearing. When one hears about the Supreme Lord, automatically the Brahma-Bhuta stage develops and material contamination, greediness, and lust for sense enjoyment disappears. As lust and desires disappear from the heart of a devotee, he becomes more attached to the service of the Lord, and by such attachment, he becomes free from material contamination. In that state of life, he can understand the Supreme Lord. This is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam also. After liberation, the process of bhakti or transcendental service continues. Because, the reason why Prabhupada's making that point, sometimes the impersonalist will do devotional service until they achieve liberation, and when they achieve liberation, the service stops. But devotee, that's not what a devotee does. The devotee doesn't want to stop service. It's not a job. No. And as Prabhupada and I've said many times, what we're doing now is apprenticeship. We have not really done the real thing. We are practicing. Where's Govind? Practice. We are practicing for the real Super Bowl in the spiritual kingdom. That is where the real, this is the practicing stage. We're getting ready. Not we are apprentices. Once we go back to Godhead, then that's when it begins. The real devotional service begins. So let's continue. The Vedanta Sutra confirms this. A prayanat tatrapi hi drishnam. This means that after liberation, the process of devotional service continues. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, real devotional liberation is defined as the reinstatement of the living entity in his own identity, his own constitutional position. Prabhupada there is referring to a verse in the second canto. And that is very important. Reinstatement. Reinstatement means it was there previously, it was lost, now you're being reinstated. Therefore, where were we originally from? Yes, the spiritual world. Otherwise, he can't use that word, reinstatement. Sometimes you lose your driver's license. Then it gets reinstated. You already had it. You lost it. Now you're getting reinstated. So in the liberated state, in the original state, we were with Krishna. We fell down. Now we are being reinstated. Back to Godhead. Same thing. We were there originally. The constitutional position is already explained. Every living entity is a part and parcel, fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his constitutional position is to serve. That's why I sing that song. You gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you have to serve somebody. After liberation, this service is never stopped. actual liberation is getting free from misconceptions of life. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.